This evening we're continuing our overview of the Old Testament book titled Judges. And here in Judges chapter 13, we find the first of four chapters which focus our attention on the life of a judge named Samson. Now, as we make our way through our text tonight, we're going to learn about the day when an angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother. And as we examine this supernatural event, we're also going to spend some time tonight considering the importance of testing every spirit. Because according to Paul, we know that there are many false teachers out there in the world who would deceive us with doctrines of demons. And so we have to test the spirits to find out if they're from God or not. And not only should we concern ourselves with the deceptive directions of those demonic spirits, especially the ones who are speaking through the false teachers that we find all around us, but listen, we also have to recognize that our own fallen flesh will lead us astray if we let it. We have an enemy within, so to speak. Our flesh wants to lead us down the wrong path. Therefore, it's important for every believer to be able to discern between three voices, so to speak, because there's the lies of our own fallen flesh, then there's the doctrines of demons, and then there's the leading of the Lord, and we have to be able to recognize which one is which. Well, with this as our goal, let's begin our overview of this fascinating chapter. And so if you would, look with me there at Judges chapter 13. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. There we read, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, I just want to point out real quick that this is actually the sixth time in the book of Judges that we're told that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's like the proverbial dog returning to the proverbial vomit. And from this, it's crucial for every Christian to understand that a person is prone to wander away from the Lord. And the reason why is because we have a fallen, sinful nature. It's our tendency to return to those sins which so easily ensnare us, and our flesh would lead us straight back into the lifestyle that we were living before coming to Christ. And we have to be mindful of this. It's for this reason that Paul warned the Christians at the church in Corinth to walk in humility by declaring this. He says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." In other words, if you think that you're all that and you think that you got it all together, if you think that you can let your spiritual guard down because you think you have your sinful nature in check, you're actually fooling yourself. Take heed lest you fall, is what Paul says. If you think that you would never return to the bondage of your carnal cravings, then I encourage you, take heed, because your confidence will become the blindness that causes you to backslide. It's inevitable. Your sinful nature, which dwells within you, it's part of you at this point in our lives, it will always lead us away from the Lord and back to sin. So if you think you stand, and if you think you're standing strong in the Lord right now, take heed lest you fall. Christian, listen, if we learn nothing else from this book, then I pray that we'll realize that the Israelites who slipped back into sin over and over and over again, that could be our story too, if we're not careful. We're all just a few bad decisions away from backsliding. And we have to grasp that fact. Let's learn a lesson from these Israelites by realizing that our sinful nature is always attempting to lead us away from the Lord and back into a life of sin. With that being the case, we must learn how to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit, who alone can lead us into a life of true liberty, which will result in a freedom from our fallen desires. Otherwise, we'll simply return to the bondage of our sinful nature, sort of like the Israelites who constantly found themselves in bondage to some enemy time and time again. Here in our text today, we find them in bondage to the Philistines for 40 years. Well, thankfully for those Israelites, the Lord had a plan to free them from the Philistines. And if you would look with me, beginning at verse 2, there we learn that there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Here in these verses, we're introduced to this barren woman who was married to this Danite man whose name was Manoah. And we learn that the angel of the Lord appeared to her on some day, and he made this promise that she wouldn't be barren for long. She would indeed conceive a child and bear a son. And as we consider the identity of this angel of the Lord, I'll remind you of something that's very important. Because listen, the title that refers to this angel, the angel of the Lord, this could just be a generic angel. It could just be an unnamed angel, a creation of God. But at the same time, this same title, the angel of the Lord, it's also been used in reference to a pre-incarnate manifestation of God the Son. And so we have to pay attention to the text. We have to examine the evidence that's found in the text to see if there's any details which would help us to determine the identity of this angel. Is it an angel, or is it the pre-incarnate manifestation of the Messiah? I should also point out that Manoah's wife didn't really know who this supernatural stranger was. With this in mind, if you would look with me, I want to begin reading at verse 6, because there we read, "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Now, here in these verses, we find Manoah's wife. She's describing this unusual meeting that she had to her husband. She's saying, "Hey, look, this guy came along. He seemed to be a man of God. And he kind of had an odd countenance, kind of as if he was the angel of the Lord." She truly believed that this messenger was a man of God, and yet then she goes on to confess that she failed to ask him where he was from and what his name was, and so she couldn't really give him that sort of information. But now as we consider the way that she immediately approached her husband with the details of this divine discourse, I would also point out that this is actually the best course of action for anyone who believes that they've received new instructions or even unusual instructions from the Lord. It's not uncommon for us to think that we're hearing a word from the Lord. It's not uncommon for Christians to think that the Lord is leading us and directing us in some new way. And if you feel like the Lord has led you or given you some new directions or instructions and he's leading you into some new venture of faith, then it's really, really good idea for you to talk with another believer who is spiritually mature. If you're married and your spouse is a believer, then you ought to talk with them, just as this woman did here in our text today. Maybe you're not married, or maybe your spouse isn't a believer, and if that's the case, then I would encourage you to find a leader here at the church and discuss these directions with them. Christian, listen, it's important for us to understand that every idea that enters our minds, it isn't necessarily from God. It's not that, you know, just every thought that pops into your head is instructions from the Lord. Every desire that arises within our hearts isn't always the leading or the unction of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, whenever you feel like the Lord might be speaking to you about some new direction for your life, don't just start acting upon that. Make sure that you share that information with another Christian that you trust, preferably a mature Christian who themselves is living a life of obedience with the Lord. Otherwise, you might end up being deceived by maybe the desires of your own heart, or even worse, the doctrines of demons. Well, after discussing the directions with another disciple, every Christian would do well to then seek more confirmation from the Lord through prayer. And this is what we find here in our text tonight. But this is our focus. If you would look with me, beginning at verse 8, there we read, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.'" Now, here in this verse, we find Manoah. He's leading his wife into this time of prayer. And during this time of prayer, he's asking the Lord to reconfirm the instructions that had been given by resending the visitor who originally met with his wife. And now he's saying, "Hey, send this visitor to us." In this way, Manoah was not only praying that the Lord would reconfirm, but also would help them to know they were being deceived. If we consider this prayer and turn it on its head, Manoah was also praying, Lord, if you didn't send that stranger, then please protect us from another visit. Please protect us from any deception that could be coming into our house. Now, as we consider this prayer of Manoah, I can't help but to think about the Lord's Prayer. And with this as our focus, if you would hold your place here in the book of Judges and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. As you make your way to Matthew 6, I should point out that the Lord wasn't giving his disciples a prayer here to memorize and repeat like some mindless mantra. And there are those out there who have taken the Lord's Prayer and they've turned it into a mantra and they repeat it several times and flip beads or whatever they do. And that's not what the Lord was intending here. No, instead, he's giving us a model prayer which could help his disciples to remember the important things that believers ought to be praying for. With this in mind, if you would, look with me there at Matthew chapter 6. I want to begin reading at verse 9, because there Jesus declares, "In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now here in these verses we find this model prayer which was designed to help us to connect with the Lord. And in this model prayer we find our Savior Jesus. He's presenting us with some important topics that we ought to be praying for. Anytime you pray, you might think through this prayer and remember these topics that the Lord has given us to pray for. But among these topics, the Lord has led his disciples to ask our Heavenly Father for protection from the deception of the evil one. That's what he says there in verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a very important thing for us to pray. Because listen, the evil one wants to tempt us and wants to deceive us. Therefore, whenever you feel like you might be receiving some new direction for your life, maybe instructions from the Lord, you ought to ask another believer to pray with you so that you might receive confirmation from the Lord. And as you pray, make sure that you're asking the Lord to lead you away from the deceptive temptations of the evil one. Because listen, the enemy of your soul wants to deceive you. The enemy of your soul wants to tempt you to stray from the narrow path of the Lord, and the enemy wants to lead you back into the bondage of your sinful nature. It's possible that the enemy is even working on your heart right now, whispering lies into your mind every single day. Because listen, the devil has lost the battle for your soul, Christian. If you've placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and you've received by faith the free gift of forgiveness that the Lord is offering to every single sinner, if that's true of you, the enemy's lost the battle for your soul. But if he can keep you stuck in bondage, the bondage of your sinful nature, then he'll at least make you an irrelevant Christian. He'll make it so that you can't reproduce your spiritual faith into the lives of others. And in that way, the enemy's won in your life. And so we have to be careful that we don't fall into these deceptive doctrines of demons that would lead us away from the righteous path of the Lord. We would do well to prayerfully seek confirmation from the Lord before we act upon the instructions that we think are coming from him. Well, thankfully for us, the Lord knows how to speak clearly to those who truly seek his will through prayer. And in order to prove my point, I'd like you to turn back to Judges chapter 13. If you would look with me, beginning there at verse 9, there we learn that God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband, and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" Now here in these verses we find the Lord, he's answering Manoah's prayer by sending the angel of God a second time. And since this visitation occurred while Manoah was away, his wife was quick to go and find him so that she could introduce this man of God to her husband. And since this visitation occurred, you know, in this time period where they didn't have the New Testament, they didn't have a great deal of the Old Testament, they still don't really grasp who this person is. But Manoah knew that the Lord had answered his prayer by resending this visitor. And once he saw that the Lord had answered his prayer, he wanted to know more about the ministry of his own promised son. He wanted to know what the promises were about this supernatural son who was about to be born to them. Well, rather than revealing more information to them about their son, this angel simply encouraged them to be obedient to the instructions that they already received. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me, beginning at verse 13, there we learn that the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Now, the instructions that we find here in these verses, it's a summary of the instructions that were given back in verses 4 and 5. And so look again there, beginning at verse 4, where the angel of the Lord declares, "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, the divine directions that were originally given to describe the Nazarite vow, which is being discussed here, those instructions can be found in Numbers chapter 6. And so for homework, I just encourage you, if you'd like to know more about the Nazarite vow, go read Numbers chapter 6 and enlighten yourself about it. Or you can go back and listen to the study I taught on Numbers chapter 6 several years ago. It's on our website. For now, though, I just want to take a second to point out that this vow, it was typically a free will choice, which was made by any Israelite who wanted to consecrate themselves unto the Lord. And they would abstain from certain things and do certain things. And at the same time, though, it's interesting to note that there are three characters in the Bible who were all Nazarites from birth. This short list, it actually consists of the prophet Samuel, John the Baptist, and this judge named Samson, who we're learning about here in our text tonight. Well, after considering the way in which the angel of the Lord encouraged them to obey the original instructions, it's important for us to understand that the Lord will oftentimes withhold information from us until we've obeyed that which he's already revealed. Sometimes we're like, okay, I want to know what point C is on the map of my life. And the Lord's saying, yeah, why don't you obey point A? And then I might reveal to you something about point B. And when you get to point B, I'll tell you something about point C. But we're like, but I'm not going to do A until you tell me about C. And the Lord's like, well, good luck with that. He chooses to withhold information from us until we walk in obedience to what he's already revealed. And with that being the case, I should point out that there are many Christians who aren't receiving clear instructions from the Lord, and they think it's the Lord's fault. Well, the Lord's not speaking clearly to me. And I would point out that it might be because you're not following the instructions that have been presented through God's written word. Christian, listen, if you've been praying for clear confirmation from the Lord and he isn't giving it to you, please understand that it's not because he has a hard time speaking. God can do anything he wants. He can completely just plant clear instructions right in your mind so that you know exactly what he's calling you to do. And if he's not doing that, the Lord's silence, well, it can oftentimes be due to the fact that there's a lack of obedient submission happening in the life of the Christian. Why would the Lord tell you something more if you're already not doing what he's already told you? Why would he give you more? According to Solomon, listen, the person who acknowledges the Lord in all their ways will receive clear direction from the Lord. Are you acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways? Are you trusting in him with everything? Are you putting the instructions found in God's word above your own opinions? If so, then the Lord is going to give you clear instructions. You can just pray and wait for it. But if you're struggling and you're trying to figure out what the Lord's will is for your life and you're not receiving clear instructions, then I would encourage you, go talk with another Christian about what you think the Lord might be leading you to do and pray for confirmation from the Lord. But if you don't receive that confirmation from the Lord, I would encourage you to consider whether or not you're truly obeying the divine directions that he's already given to us in his holy word. Because it's possible that you need to start walking in obedience to God's word. before he gives you further instructions. Furthermore, it's also important to understand that the Lord's calling will usually lead us to make personal sacrifices. And with this in mind, if you would look with me beginning at verse 15, because there we read, "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord." Here in these verses, we find Manoah. He's ready to prepare a meal for this man of God, but what he failed to understand was that this messenger was no mere mortal. He thinks that he's just talking to some, you know, passerby, some stranger, some man of God who's out on a mission, but he's failing to grasp that this was the angel of the Lord. And with that being the case, this heavenly messenger, he refuses to eat Manoah's food. Now, if I had to guess why, then it's probably because the food here on earth is probably kind of nasty compared to the food that angels would eat. I mean, just angel food cake alone is pretty delicious, right? But I doubt that's what they eat in heaven. But, you know, imagine just, you know, it's kind of like if you get used to eating at, like, you know, a fancy restaurant with really good food, or your spouse makes delicious food for you, or maybe you're a good cook, and then someone says, "Hey, let's go to McDonald's." It's like, why would I want to do that? I like good food. It's possible that the angel is just kind of like, you know, "I just don't eat this nasty earth food, you know." Or maybe Manoah himself was just a horrible cook. We don't know. But maybe the angel's like, "Hey, you know what, I know what you cook at home, and the smoke of the torment of your food ascends into the presence of God, and we don't like it." Maybe the angel of the Lord is like, "You know, just not hungry, thanks, but no thanks." We don't know. But regardless of the reason for why this angel of the Lord refused to eat Manoah's food, what we do know is that this heavenly messenger was quick to direct Manoah to present a burnt offering to the Lord. And from this, I'd like to point out that I believe we'll find a deeper connection with God whenever we choose to sacrifice the things of this world for the things of the Lord. Now, in order to further explain what I mean by this, I want to continue to make our way through Judges chapter 13. If you would look with me, beginning at verse 17, because there we learn that Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it up upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now here in these verses, we find the angel of the Lord, he's revealing his true identity through this sacrifice of Manoah. And as this flame came up from this rock and began to consume this burnt offering, the angel of the Lord, who says that his name is wonderful, he did this wonderful thing. He ascended into heaven through the smoke of Manoah's sacrifice, and I'm guessing that that was just an incredible sight to see. But now it's interesting to note here that the word wonderful that this angel of the Lord refers to himself as, that word wonderful is rooted in the same Hebrew word that Isaiah used in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when he revealed that the Messiah's name would be called Wonderful. The Lord's saying, "Hey, don't you know my name is Wonderful?" And that's exactly what Isaiah tells us, that his name is Wonderful. From this, it seems clear to me that the angel of the Lord was quite probably a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Messiah. And while the Son of God would later on take on humanity within the womb of Mary, this was a manifestation of God the Son prior to that virgin birth. That being the case, this wonderful Savior was revealed to this couple as they offered this sacrifice unto the Lord. And based on this, I'd like to point out that the believer who refuses to live a life of self-sacrifice is going to end up missing out on witnessing the wondrous works of the Lord. If you won't sacrifice to the Lord, and not in this burnt offering, Old Testament sort of way, but I'm talking about the things in your life, the things that the Lord would lead you to sacrifice, if you won't sacrifice those things unto the Lord, then you won't see his wondrous works. Think about it. This angel of the Lord didn't reveal his wonderful identity until Manoah and his wife began preparing a sacrifice for the Lord. Then as they made this sacrifice unto the Lord, they also witnessed the wondrous works of God as this angel of the Lord ascended with the smoke of their offering. It's in similar fashion that I believe that the believer is going to witness the wondrous works of our Messiah every time we sacrifice our own carnal desires for His glory. And so I encourage you, live a life of self-sacrifice so that you can continue to discover how wonderful our Savior truly is. It's also important to point out that according to Paul, the Christian who truly wants to discover the will of God for their life must also continue to offer themselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. But this is our focus. If you would hold your place here in the book of Judges and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, because it's in Romans chapter 12 where Paul helps us to see this connection between the sacrificial surrender of self and the discernment of divine direction. You see, there is a connection here. The Christian who is sacrificing themselves will also gain the discernment of God's divine direction. And with this in mind, look with me there so we can see how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. There Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Christian, listen, if you really want the discernment to recognize the difference between our own carnal desires and the deceptive doctrines of demons and the divine directions of God, if you want the discernment to know the difference between those three things, then you must continually offer yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Every day we need to present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. We need to say to the Lord, "Not my will today, but your will in my life." And the reason why we must present ourselves continually as a living sacrifice each and every day, it's based on the fact that a living sacrifice is always trying to get up off the altar. You can't just place a living sacrifice on the altar, allow it to continue living, and expect it to stay there. It will always constantly try to get up off that altar and go back to what it wants to do. And so every day we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We have to place ourselves on that altar and say, "Not my will, but thine be done." So listen, if you feel like the Lord is giving you some new direction for your life, or you're just trying to discover what His perfect will is for your life, then take some time to discuss directions that you think that the Lord might be giving you with some other mature Christian, and together pray for confirmation from the Lord, and at the same time make sure you're obeying the instructions that are found in God's Word so that you might receive that clear confirmation, and then be prepared to offer yourself to the Lord a living sacrifice, denying your carnal cravings for the glory of God. Furthermore, I would also point out that the demons, listen, the demons won't be leading us to deny ourselves. The demons will always lead us to a path of, "Hey, you got freedom, just do whatever you want. Just look within your heart, do whatever you feel like doing." That's what the demons are going to lead us to do. And listen, not only are the demons not going to lead us to a life of self-sacrifice, but our carnal cravings would never cause us to sacrifice our own selfish desires. That's why there's selfish desires, because we want what we want. Therefore, a good test for figuring out if the directions that you're receiving are coming from God or not, just ask yourself, do these directions lead me into a life of self-sacrifice? Do these directions lead me to sacrifice my carnal cravings? Because if not, then it's probably not from the Lord. It's probably either from your flesh or from the demons. Furthermore, I'd also point out that the leading of the Lord will also cultivate within us a reverential respect of God, as well as a foundational faith in Jesus Christ. And with this as our focus, let's turn back to Judges chapter 13. I want to pick up our study there at verse 21, because there we read, "When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time.'" Now, here in these verses, we find Manoah, he's freaking out a little bit, and his wife, I think, is probably, you know, the more level-headed one of the two, obviously. But they're both demonstrating a mixture of fear and faith. And as I consider Manoah's response here, I can't help but to think about the way that Peter also mixed a little bit of fear and faith in his life when he realized that he was in the presence of the promised Messiah. Luke tells us in the 5th chapter of his gospel that once Peter realized who Jesus actually was, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There's faith there. He's saying, "You're the Lord," and he's recognizing who he is, but there's a reverential respect, a fear there that leads him to say, "Oh, I don't deserve to be in your presence." And that's what I see in Manoah and his wife. There's a fear there, and there's a respect there, and there's faith there to believe that they had been in the presence of God. As we consider the example of all three, Peter and Manoah and his wife, I would also argue that the divine directions that come from the Lord would lead us to develop a similar mixture of fear and faith. The sort of fear I'm talking about is that reverential respect, and the faith that would lead us to believe that the Lord wants to have a relationship with us. Therefore, if you're attempting to discern whether or not you're hearing from the Lord, then ask yourself, do these directions lead me to develop more respect for the Lord and more faith in Jesus? If not, then you probably aren't hearing from God, because the directions of the Lord will lead us to experience that reverential respect for Him and that foundational faith. Finally, I would point out that the calling of the Lord will also be coupled together with the equipping of the Lord. And in order to help you to grasp what I mean, if you would look with me beginning at verse 24. There we learn that the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. Now, here in the final verses of this chapter, we're finally introduced to this judge named Samson. We see the day of his birth. And listen, not only was Samson called to the position of judge even before he was conceived, but he was also empowered by the Holy Spirit of God as a young child. And from this, I would point out that the Lord not only called Samson into this ministry, but he also equipped Samson for this position as judge over Israel. So we see then that this calling of the Lord, it's coupled together with the equipping of the Lord. It's in similar fashion that the Lord is also, he has a plan to equip every Christian for their specific calling. And so maybe the Lord is calling you to teach in our children's ministry, or maybe he's stirring your heart to go out street witnessing with our outreach team, or maybe he's calling you to serve him in some specific way, and you're just not so sure that you're equipped for that. Maybe you're a little stressed out because you're not so sure that you have what it takes to lead a ministry or be in a ministry or serve the Lord. Trust me when I tell you that the Lord is going to give every believer the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish everything that He's calling us to do, so we don't have to freak out about it. He's not going to call you to do something supernatural and then expect you to try to do it naturally. I would be helpless if that were the case. I just need to go ahead and just step down from the role of pastor of this church if that's the case, because I don't have personally what it takes to pastor a church. And every person in every ministry of the Lord doesn't have what it takes to do that ministry. We need the Spirit of God working in our lives and equipping us to do what He's calling us to do. That being the case, if the Lord's calling you to some new ministry, or maybe to step up to some level of leadership, or maybe He's calling you to teach, or whatever the case is, don't freak out. Don't run away from His calling, but trust that with His calling comes His equipping. Trust in the Lord and be obedient to His calling, But it's possible that you still don't know what his calling is, or you're still trying to figure out if some instructions that you've received from the Lord are actually from him or not. And if that's the case, then I would remind you of the instructions that we have discovered here in our text tonight. Take some time to discuss your calling with another Christian. Take some time to sit down with a mature believer, maybe your spouse, maybe a leader here in the church. Talk with them about the directions that you think that the Lord is giving to you, and then pray together. Pray together for confirmation from the Lord, asking the Lord to keep you guys from deception and from the temptation of the enemy. Make sure all the while that you're obeying the instructions that the Lord has already given to us in his holy word, and then be prepared to offer yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Then you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Let's pray.